Yippee! Yippee! Yippee!
Listen, let's title of this thing. Don't title again.
I'm Daddy Lonely, the Eledu Mare.
Is it rolling, Bob?
Check, check. That's better. Check, check. Oh, man, what a beautiful day. This is a good one. We have not had many good days yet this far into the season. It's Thursday, June the 6th, 5 p.m., and I am talking to you from Thompson Park. Trees, wow, in full leaf. My gosh, the change. Incredible. A couple of huge maples here. And up on the hill back towards where the cemetery is, St. Andrew's Cemetery, where I often podcast from. Looking over, that's to my left, and straight ahead. It's a lovely park. It always has been, but enough about that. Named for the pioneering Thompson family. First white settlers in this part of the world, or this part of the country, and at that time, a long distance from York, which was Toronto. Okay, anyway, I am sitting here on this bench in the shade of another one of these. Looks like a maple, different type of leaf. I don't know what kind this would be. And I've got my cane with me. Yes, I bought a cane today. I've been talking quite often about this balance issue I've had. And yesterday, Wednesday, I had to go in for jury duty to see if I'd be selected. I sat there from, it was supposed to be 8:30, I arrived at 9, and was there until 4 without being called, and now I have to go back tomorrow, Friday, at 9:30, and most likely then I'll see a judge and find out if I'm a suitable candidate or if I can do it. If it would be something that would be a long trial, I would have to opt out and say, sorry, I run my own business, I can't. Anyway, on Wednesday when I went, I had to grab an 8 a.m. train, and I was standing on a street corner, Bellamy and Eglinton, trying to get across the street to where the GO trains come. And my balance, I was like I was going to fall, you know, just, you know, leaning this way and that way, and I just couldn't quite steady myself. And then when I got to Toronto and had to walk through the station, in amongst a herd of people, God damn it, fucking Union Station is still not finished. It's so confusing, and you're trying to find, well, how do I get, hey, it's a transit hub. There's a GO train, there's VIA station, and there's a subway. And mobs of people coming off the GO trains are funneling through this two doors of people going in both directions to get to the goddamn subway. Sorry, pardon my language, but Jesus Christ. Absolutely ridiculous. Well, you know, you're 8 deep trying to get through one door. And I was tottering again. Thought, oh, my God. Because there's nothing to hold on to, and it's just a situation. But my brain is saying, hey, what's going on here? This isn't normal. And it's the brain that is having the trouble, is sort of overcompensating for the wobbliness. And I thought, man, I don't think I can do this again. And when I arrived, I was going to go straight up and say, it's not because of my job, it's because of my, you know, physical condition. I cannot do this. And then I had, you know, 7 hours to sit and calm down, and thought today, you know, you should go get a cane. And I'm in this, still in this mode. Listeners will understand when I say, being such a procrastinator, I'm trying to break that habit, even if it means not checking around to see if somebody has a used lawnmower for sale, but just going out and buying one the day I broke mine. You know that story. And I realized, you know, I really should get a cane. So called my wife's insurance, you know, benefits package, And yes, you're eligible for $50 every 2 years towards a cane. And so my local Shoppers Drug Mart has what's called a, I don't know, what is it, Live Well, Shop Well, I don't know. A place that sells mobility devices, including these very expensive scooters and everything you'd need for, you know, being physically handicapped. Smart move on the Shopper's part. And I guess today was discount day, so I found one that was $59.99. I thought, okay, that's great. It's collapsible. It's got like a three-pronged foot, so it'll actually stand by itself. Right? It's standing up by itself now. And this would be great for all kinds of terrain and a nice good handle, and it's all black. So I knew that was the one. I tried a few out and picked this baby. Comes with a case. Easy to get onto an airplane with, you know. Anyway, went up to the front. By the time I left, I'd only paid $39.99. So I don't know whether she might have mispriced it to start with because it said $49, and the sticker where it was hanging from said 59, and then it was Seniors Day, so it was a further discount, 20%. So anyway, I'm pretty happy that I came out and I've got this thing. So this is its maiden voyage. You're hearing the podcast of the maiden voyage. The first outing was to Tim Hortons, that's fitting too, where I had a an interview with the second teacher who applied for my teaching position. And then on Saturday, I interview the third and probably final applicant for the Kamajo teaching job. Yeah. So anyway, being so nice, and I just pulled into the park, and my wife phoned, said, I'm going for a walk. It's a beautiful day. Cousin Zeke from Russell is showing up tonight on his way to Manitoulin Island. This is the man who is a year older than me, and every year he does a two-day bicycle route with a gang of others around Manitoulin Island. Incredible. This is the man who plays volleyball with young people every week. And here's me. Well, I got my cane today. Yeah. God damn, that's terrible. But I'm just facing reality. This is it, you know. This is what it's come to. I mean, it doesn't depress me. It's just, I'm accepting, hey, just a fact of life, man. But, you know, it is a reminder, you know, the best days. Can I say that? The best days are behind me. I don't want to believe that, but I mean, probably true. But I've still got a lot more to look forward to, and things to learn and pleasures to be had. So I'm not giving up yet. Anyway, I just wanted to make a quick start, a short start to this. I hope you enjoyed the one I put out from Pinery Provincial Park. And here we are starting something entirely new. Scarborough Dude, signing off, keeping this short, so I can give you more music. Bye for now.
Waving my arms in the air, not my love, got no care, no care, no, no, pressing my feet to the ground, stand up right where you stand, pull to you, and what do, laying back in a chair. So high on the air, she's so high on the air, half and half, half and half, all you have to do to call is hold her hand, stand a while and a smile and we'll understand, yes we do, yes, yes we do. Girl, I got to. Oh, what a girl I got to. With a slinky look, she held her tie to her hair. Looked to see everywhere.
day. Hey, hey, and you shouldn't try to be what you can't be. You shouldn't try to be what you can't be. Call to you, and what do you do?
I know the lesson is do not record near water fountains or waterfalls, but we've got that in the background. And children's noises, I could shut this down to cut out all the outside noises, but that would take away from the ambience of sitting here, exactly positioned in the second O of the word Toronto, spelled out in front of City Hall. Anybody who's seen a picture of Toronto in the past 2 years, oh my God, look at that one. Where were we? We'll know what I'm talking about. Yeah, climbed right up. Nobody's sitting on this. This one's not taken. It's rather nice. In fact, I could get right inside the O. And, of course, it wrecks it for anybody trying to take a picture of the city of Toronto. You got some guy's back. But, hey, it's a sunny day. I'm downtown. This is where I've chosen to park my ass. Yeah, jury duty. This was my second day. It's Friday. I was out by noon, but got my number called first person for the fourth group, I think, or fifth group, maybe. They call you in groups of 25. So we're talking a lot of people in this huge courtroom. And so I have to go back Monday noon. And then they decide whether you're eligible or not. I don't know how they're going to do it. It's for one particular case. And they're going through hundreds. Or seeing that. Yeah, they are. Of potential jurors to narrow it down. And you think of the money and the time involved. I mean, there's a judge sitting up at the top. There is probably at least 6, 7, 8 court staffers. And then, you know, a couple of lawyers and police or security anyway. Just in this one case, in this one courtroom. And if nothing else, this makes me realize, my God, any responsible government at all levels, all three levels, federal, provincial, and municipal, invest in education, invest in programs for youth, invest in anything that may keep people away from a life of crime. The costs for not doing that are much higher than they would be for, adding in another community center, hiring a few more social workers, whatever it takes. Because I'm dumbfounded at the time and expense going into this particular trial, which, of course, I'm not allowed to talk about. I don't know. I mean, I have no idea whether they'll be picked. I got to go back Monday, and then I guess they screen you again, and eventually narrow it down to 12 jurors plus 2 in reserve. And yet, meanwhile, I'm talking, there's 125 of us that were selected when I left. And there'll be more coming. So, that's it. It is interesting, and it did make me. I mean, the words they say, hey, this is your duty as a Canadian, and that our judicial system is the envy of many, many countries in the world. And Canada doesn't ask much of you. That was the line that resonated for me. Canada doesn't ask much of its citizens. But this thing, you know, being, called for jury duty, this is one of the things that you can do. And they make it easy. If you get called once, they can't call you again for another 3 years. It's, you know, and yet the number of people trying to get out of it, you know. Anyway, we'll see what happens. This potential trial, that if I was one of the ones on the jury, would go on for, I'm guessing, at least 2 weeks, which is a bit of a problem for me, but I would stick to it anyway if I was called, because out of curiosity, and Yeah, I'd like to see the whole thing through. It's an education, and it's something I haven't done. All right, so anyway, the fact that I'm out, I'm meeting the lovely Lisa at the Only Cafe, but not until about 5. So the choice was go home now and have a little nap, which I need, because Yuki had me up at 4. Then I had to drive Daniel to the train station at 5:30, and then up at 7:30 to get ready for this, and get cousin Zeke out the door at 8. So I've had a full day already, and yeah, going home and having a nap. And the other thought is, well, surely there's a place where you can nap downtown, a place just to lie down. I mean, what do the homeless people do, you know? And you think, be careful there, buddy. Be careful. Oh, my God. I'm not often downtown. That's why I wanted to haul this thing out and start talking to you, because, number one, the passing scenery, the number of beautiful women, and I guess because it's summer, number one, and people are suddenly, they're dressed in different clothes, not bundled up like babushkas. So lovely, and I think, you know, being the kind of man I am, your eyes tend to focus. Well, on various parts of the anatomy, let's put it that way, and on various women. I'm there, I've said it, I'm sorry. I know that's wrong. We're not supposed to feel that way. It's wrong. It's wrong. Good luck with that. It is the wiring. But that aside, it's just interesting being downtown. It's just such a completely different feeling from our quiet little suburb, the little street I live on, you know. This lovely curve that our house is parked on, that beautiful silver road trek in the driveway. It's quite a nice place to be, actually. You know, me, the guy who was thinking I never wanted to be in a suburb, like my family, and now realizes, wow, couldn't have a better place. Well, yeah, cottage by the lake maybe would be nice, but no, I don't think I could handle the isolation. Oh, I will get on to one quick topic. I recorded from the park the previous clip. The day I came for jury duty, the subway was down, there was a fire in the system, there was just chaos, and this line's running, this line's not. And I thought, it's crazy to go back in there. It was a very state of confusion. So, gee, I'm on Queen Street, and the Rex Tavern, the Rex Hotel, I should say, is very close by. So I went in for a beer, old time's sake. I thought, yeah, that was the place that was my regular bar for drinking in many, many, many years ago with, you know, another girl, Linda and Jeff, and that was a hangout for us. It was great. We'd have a little table, we'd order pitchers of beer and platters of wings in days long gone. So I went in for old time's sake, and also the old motto that Barnacle Bill always says, when in doubt, have a beer. And then resented the fact that by the time I just factored in a tip, you know, for really nothing, I was sitting at the bar and the service was lousy, it still came to $10 for one just regular beer. I didn't want to throw that kind of money away. And the wings, of course, were more expensive. And it wasn't fun. And so I left after the one beer and headed home. But what I found while I was there, I was thinking, okay, you're alone now. Think inward. Find out what's going on, because I've realized a lot of what I do, and I'm doing it right now, is talking outwardly. I'm talking to you. I'm very aware there are listeners. It's not that I'm putting on a show, but maybe I am. And this idea of me, you know, holy shit, 13, 14 years of podcast, an hour every week, you're still doing that. That it's an outward thing, that I'm putting myself out. You know, I'm presenting a version of Canada, the Scarborough Dude, whoever you like. It's all one now. But with not necessarily much inside reflection. And I tried. I sat there. I asked to borrow a pencil from the bartender. I had blank paper. And I was going to say, okay, what's going on inside? What are you thinking about? And I couldn't come up with anything. It was like, no, I can't do that. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know who would be the me asking me whatever it is I wanted to know.
I'm going to go there.
It just didn't seem possible. And it really, it struck home that, no, I project out. But when I was really, you know, and I talked about alone, like camping, you know, how wonderful it was. I was doing things, cooking that breakfast, tidying up the road trek. I was busy doing things, so the me was the doer. But to sit in a bar and reflect with a pint of beer and try and come up with something to dig inside and say, well, what are you feeling? What are you thinking? What's going on? It was a complete blank. And so I don't know if that's true of others of you out there, whether you can actually give yourself a good talking to, whether you really can be reflective. As I've always said, this is reflective, this is therapeutic. And now I'm really questioning if this is exactly the opposite of that. It's avoidance completely. I don't have to think about myself or say anything or come up with any observations because I'm too busy talking outwardly. All right, now I'm surrounded by kids, everybody wanting a picture of the Toronto thing. It's just a very busy place. So I'm going to maybe bring an end to this right now. But I hope you enjoyed that. Yeah, it's a kids' daycare. And yeah, it's a busy place, downtown Toronto. It is a busy place. There's a priest in a black hassock. Gosh. It is very different from the suburbs, believe me. And I wouldn't want to live here. I would not want to live downtown by any means. Scarborough Dude, signing out from Toronto City Hall, the new one and the old one. Bye for now. Afternoon, 12:35. I'm in St. Andrew's Cemetery. I'm not in it. I'm parked at the gates. Same place I mentioned earlier when I was podcasting from Thompson Park. I just felt like coming to this place. It's the road here is just lovely. Like you're out in the countryside. It's so weird. All trees, kind of winding and hilly. And then I'm parked in the shade of these great big maples. So it's quite nice. And I just wanted to have a short word with you. I'm just coming back from Tim Hortons, where I had my third and final interview for the teacher I need, the second teacher I need for my summer program. And I hired the woman on the spot. She's just absolutely perfect, like a dream candidate. She will just be absolutely wonderful. I'm so happy about that. And she'll work very well with the other teacher I've already hired. And so my next step is to email both of them and say, okay, now let's get together at lunch at Megumi's Japanese Lunch and have a get-to-know-each-other day and talk about the program. So that's on my list, and I will also let him know, the other teacher, that I've already hired a teacher. And then I'm doing some very serious thinking about one of the teachers who really wanted the job, and I can't. I mean, this woman is just the best choice. But maybe this other person might be in some other role for as an assistant for me or something. It's there's no real job description. There's not a whole lot. It might be more trouble than it's worth for me to have. I know that this person would enjoy it. I mean, he would volunteer to be a voluntary position. And I think this person would quite like to do it. Maybe there's just a couple of days when I could use his help. I don't know. I have to think that through and think it through carefully. So there's a lot of thinking that goes into this, and planning, and good mental exercise to stay on top of this whole thing. So that's that makes it worthwhile. And so I'm facing some fairly big decisions. And one of them is whether to continue this program or not. You know, will there be another year after this one? And I'd say it's almost 50-50 now. I just don't know. But I will know as at the end of this tour is when I'll have to make a decision. I've mentioned that before, but I'm just sort of ruminating here. The things that are life-changing decisions, you know, that might say, oh, yeah, it's, do I buy that shirt or not, or which lawnmower to get? No, this is bigger than that. This is a source of income, but it affects, you know, well, it impacts, you know, all the families who are involved every year. It impacts the school itself. It impacts the 30-odd girls who would be coming or not. There's ripples upon ripples upon ripples from this thing. And as you know, I'm fascinated by this, you know, the impact of some decisions are just sort of seemingly inconsequential. Like where I sat down to eat my lunch yesterday after being dismissed from the jury selection. Now, I've got to go back Monday, so this is the other decision that I've got to make. And I've decided, I think today, I can't go forward with this trial. I've got a doctor's appointment Tuesday, and I need to see the doctor to, number one, get a prescription for this, but also to find out, look, put me on a list or a referral for a specialist. I need to know what's going on with my balance, my walking issues. And as interesting as this trial would be, it probably would take 2 weeks to get through all the information they talked about. And I can't afford 2 weeks of going in every day. I don't mean cost-wise, and just time-wise, energy-wise. And all the other things I would have to cancel, I've already canceled. Physiotherapy. So I have legitimate reasons why this is not going to work. I just have to, I think what I'll do is I'll go in Monday and spell it out to them. It's okay, here's the contract that I've signed for this program that I'm responsible for. You can see here the dates, and that's what I have to do. And they will, you know, it will be a legitimate excuse, not me just looking for a, because I don't feel like doing it. It's quite the opposite. I'd really like to do it. And any other time might work out okay, but not now. So that's the other decision. The third decision, I guess I'm going to share one little bit with you. After we were let out around 12:30, and I sat outside the courthouse and had lunch. It was a nice little spot. And then saw, oh, gee, City Hall is just over there, you know, across the street. Let's go over there. And I had a little walk around City Hall. In fact, I went in, I tweeted, you know, I wanted to recharge the batteries, and my own batteries. I just was tired. I needed to sit quietly. So enjoyed a little spell in City Hall, then came back out, sat in the sunshine, and nothing was happening in my head. I thought, okay, what are you going to do? You're going to meet Lisa, the lovely Lisa. You're going to meet her at 5:30 at the only. What are you going to do between now And then, and I just wasn't sure. Well, I could go early. I could go to the bookstore. I don't want to do any sightseeing. I don't want to do museums. I don't want to do anything. And so I walked a little further, and behind the city hall, there was a very interesting memorial put up by Italian Canadians honoring the Canadian soldiers fallen at, you know, Sicily and coming into Italy during World War II to free them. The same way the French and the Belgians and the, you know, the Dutch thank us so much, the Italians were thanking the Canadians. And it was a great little memorial of four soldiers sort of looking down, and then a rectangle of what looked like a village that had been destroyed by bombs. It was very moving, and it was a place I had never seen before. It had a comfortable bench, and it was in the shade, and it was quiet. There was a little daycare nearby. And it was a spot I'll probably go back to. It was a wonderful little place to sit. And as I sat there, my mind was sort of blank, like, what to do? And I can't, you know, I couldn't do any constructive reflection. I couldn't think about problems to solve. There was nothing. And then realized, just then, only then, hey, I packed my weed today. I've got a couple of rolled joints. I might just have half a J and see what happens. And it was the perfect time, the perfect location, the perfect, you know, opportunity. Yeah. And it's okay. It's cool to meet Lisa when you're a little high. Of course. You're going to the Only after this. So I did use that time. Put it to good use. And one of the thoughts I had was, this drive to Vancouver in August, do I want to go alone or do I want to go with a friend? And the conclusion I came to, rightfully so, was you don't need to make a decision now. Just park that for a while. I spent that time in just wonderful reflection of the kind you can get when you're high, thinking about all kinds of things. And a woman came by in a motorized scooter, and I reached out to her in just a nice sense. Hey, you're pretty handy with that thing. And it's the kind of thing I might not have done if I was not high. And she was talking to somebody else who was clearly a street person. Asked them if the ladies had come by yet, and I guess they had the routine. And she was going into the city hall to recharge the battery on a motorized scooter. And it was a really pleasant little conversation. You might say, well, partly just because you were high, but no, because I engaged, and it was genuine. It was of the moment, and it was, you know, here's me with my cane talking to a woman in a wheelchair, you know, that, you know, could be in my future. But just a pleasant chat. The kind of thing that we need more of in this world. You know, you just, people need to engage. So I felt very good about that. And then I finally realized, okay, gee, I could take a streetcar back to Broadview. And then from Broadview, it's only a few stops to Donlin's, to the Only Cafe. And by the time I got to Dundas, there were no streetcars running. It was only buses. And the buses was very, very crowded. But I did have my little wonderful little trip. Hey, in all, I'm sorry. It's not very interesting, I guess. But it turned into just a wonderful day and a wonderful experience. And I really am at a point in my life where I do have this time to reflect and to think and to review and to contemplate. And yet, still things are happening. It's not, you know, I'm not just that drooling old man on the park bench falling asleep. Hey, I'm making decisions that are impacting people's lives here. You know, I'm still a player. Come on! This stuff counts. It's for real. There's impact. There are ripples, folks. There are ripples! And I just love that aspect of it. And so the follow-up today with this interview with just a wonderful woman who is going to totally enjoy. She was a jet. She lived in Japan. She's a teacher now. She's perfect for the job, and she will enjoy it, and the students will enjoy her, and the Japanese teachers will enjoy her. and it's all happiness. This program that I run every year is a fucking source of good. It's a source of good. And I feel good about that. And I'm just so pissed off that I can't seem to convince the politicians it is, and that I could do with a little help to find a few more leads to help me find those last five homestay families. All right, before I get into a rant and turn sour, I'll end this now. My wife texted me, come home with an iced coffee for me. She's just mowed the lawns with the new mower. Yeah, we're not going to let go of that lawnmower. All right. Scarborough Dude signing out from St. Andrew's Cemetery. I needed to share that with you. And bye for now. That sound is somebody trimming around the tombstones. It's a pompous ass, too. All right. There we go. Sunday afternoon. I rarely have a beer on a Sunday afternoon, but I'm doing it now in celebration. The thing I'm not going to do, and this is, you can thank Candace for this, is I'm not going to record right now because I've got a bag of potato chips, Old Dutch Ripples, and some cheese and salami, and I haven't really had lunch. So I'm going to be eating some of that and drinking my beer, so I'm just going to put this on hold. I just wanted you to know that I'm doing you a favor today. Thank you. Candace, sin... What is it? 148? Something like that. Bye for now. Okay, I'm back. I finished the bag of chips, so you won't be hearing that. You may be hearing some, I don't know, smudgy kind of noises as I eat some cheese. But don't worry about that. I think I was pronouncing her name strangely. I was saying Condus or something for Candace. Anyway, listen, I'm on my deck. Nobody's home. My son is still at work or on his way home. My wife is off somewhere for an appointment she was late for, thanks to me. Maybe I'll get that story out of the way. Yeah, I'll get the bad story out of the way. Well, I'm at church. It's just starting. I get a phone call from my wife sounding very, very upset. I've lost my wallet. Maybe it was a text message. I know it was both. I don't know which one I got first. Anyway, I've lost my wallet. Can you check the car? Well, what I had done, very often, you know, I take her car to church and I'm back by 1 o'clock, and usually she's not going anywhere in the morning. I didn't check this morning to see. I just took the car while she was still sleeping. And turns out, yes, she did need it. She had an appointment. So she gets up and she can't find her wallet anywhere. Can't check her car because I have her car. It's parked at the church. And is stressed. Already very stressed. So I eventually get this message. I imagine, was it just before church started? I suppose, yeah. Go out to my car. Find the wallet on the back seat floor. Leave a message with her. Call me when you get to the church. She's got to come to the church, get her car. And doesn't know where the church is. Quite a bit later, calls again for instructions on where the church is. I said, call me when you arrive. And anyway, we got that taken care of. It was just unfortunate from my wife's point of view. She was very stressed out. Losing her wallet, not having her car, being late for an appointment. And a lot of it just simply because I took her car without checking first. So, bad me. And I will apologize when she gets home. Meanwhile, I've had one of the most delightful days ever. And, you know, just on quite a few levels. Today was the day Joey Taylor of Six String Nation brought in Voyageur, a V-guitar, and gave a presentation. Well, I've used the expression hit it out of the park before. This was way up into the, you know, second level back out of the park of the bleachers. I mean, it was just an incredibly good presentation. I saw Joey do this at PAB, so thank you, Mark. Thank you, Bob, in absentia. For bringing Joey in as a guest speaker for PAB back in Kingston. And that impressed me. And as you know, I had some follow-up with Joey and thought he really needed something to represent the Japanese-Canadian community. That was brought up today during the presentation and during the introduction. And that warmed my heart a little bit. But all I was a connector. I didn't do anything but bring the right people together. And he got a piece of the Asahi baseball team shirt for the guitar strap. Anyway, he came into the church and did this presentation. Nobody had heard of Six String Nation, the Voyageur guitar, its significance, its meaning. And if you haven't, Google it. It's an incredible story. And the person who was going to MC today, be the conductor, because Greta was away. This whole thing was based on Greta being away. Well, turned out Greta got home at 3 o'clock this morning from Florida with her husband Scott, and they both showed up. They wanted to see and hear Joey. And that was an added bonus. But meanwhile, Kevin took over the presentation. Kevin is the guy who is the facilitator for our men's group and did a great job and allowed Joey the full time he needed. Meanwhile, I got somebody else in the men's group to play the guitar. And he did the Canadian Railroad Trilogy, Lightfoot. So it was just par excellence. I mean, it was just an amazingly good presentation. His slide transitions, and he's just done this many times. And he just stood up there and told the stories that of all the connections to this guitar, the pieces of Canadian history. I'm not going to go into it now. You can Google this. Several people bought his book, which was great. He needs it. I bought some of the guitar picks, and I will give those out as little gifts. I'll put a link in the show notes, and let's leave it there. But it was quite wonderful for having people coming up and thanking me for being the connector to bring in Joey, because everybody was blown away by the story and the history and the presentation itself and the guitar, in particular from the sacred tree in Haida Gwaii that makes up the face of the guitar. So that was just a good feeling. Now, just towards the end, somebody came up to me in the church and said, "Ken, are you on the refugee committee?" And I said, "Well, sort of, but not really." And it's because I haven't been doing anything. I've been getting all the emails and I've been following them. Our refugee family arrived at Pearson Airport Friday. So, still connected to the church, but this is a different story. They arrived Friday. They got their clearance. They got their refugee status from where they were hiding. And they flew in, and one of the families from our church picked them up Friday. Unfortunately, that same family had to leave Saturday for a pre-planned one-month vacation in Europe. They had expected, this family was supposed to arrive in March. Paperwork just slowed everything down. The family who was going to host them in their home and get them into a house is gone. Another family stepped up and took them. So meanwhile, I got somebody coming up to me at the end of the service today. Said, "Ken, it's a bit of a panic. The woman who's now hosting them is on her own. One of the kids puked in the middle of the night. She's just kind of worn out. Her husband's had to go and look after his mother, who's in a nursing home and is not well. Can you do something?" And meanwhile, I'm still trying to sort out my wife's key and the wallet so that she can pick up her card and leave mine. That gets done. I say, "Well, give me the numbers. I'll give her a call, see what I can do." And fortunately, that was the right thing to do. I called. She was relieved to hear a voice from the church. I said, "I'll be right over." So Joey stuck around. Greta, and of course, met Greta and Scott. So glad they came to the service on just a few hours sleep. Lots and lots and lots of photos taken. Lots and lots and lots of discussion about the guitar, about Joey, about the future of Six String Nation. Anyway, I went over to the house, met the husband, who is the man who has the is on the Al-Qaeda death list. He led student protests. He's a brave young man, and they led a large group. He showed me the photos of how large, in Bangladesh, of a mass protest, telling the government choose either a secular government or religious, but choose one or the other for our future. And we want you to choose a secular government. The government went with the religion, thought that was a safer bet, being an Islamic country. Give in to the people who were loud and screaming and shouting in the streets and hacking people to death, and hacked some of the close associates of the man I was speaking to this afternoon. He is here now feeling very safe, very much relieved, with his wife and his two young boys. And I had the pleasure of sitting at the table, sharing a little food with him that his wife had prepared, and getting his story and talking to him. And this is something I've been looking forward to for a long time, but I just felt I wasn't doing enough. There's no way I was going to go to the airport to meet them. There's no way I wanted my name known. However, when I got the panic call, "Hey, Ken, please come and give Wendy a bit of a break," I came. And what a delight just to sit at a table, just alone with them, while Wendy looked after the children outside, and get his story firsthand and, share. Get him to know me a little bit. And he said, no, I saw your name, and I was very happy. I saw these names. These are friendly names. These are people helping us. I saw your name, Ken. I was apologizing, saying, look, I didn't do anything at all for your getting here. I just sort of signed up to help out on the refugee committee and didn't do anything after that. Attended a couple of meetings. I said, no, I just saw Ken. I know that's a good man. And it was just the name that he knew when messages were coming out from him talking about, you know, the next step and the Canadian government requires this and they need this next and so on, that he had all these people back in Canada pulling for him. And so that made me feel good, too. Hey, gee, name alone. But it was a beautiful connection, and it's the connection I would like to have had. So there was how the day unfolded. Unfortunate for my wife, with the stress of thinking she lost her wallet, of me taking her car, and her being late for an appointment, and me basking in the glory of being the guy who bought Joey Taylor to West Hill United Church on this fine Sunday. And then having just the added bonus of meeting the refugee family who only arrived Friday. Here it is Sunday. And meeting all of them and having a very good conversation. His English was quite good, intermediate level. His wife is very much a beginner. She knew the word down when the dog was reaching up to grab something. Her son was teasing the dog a little bit with food. And, yeah. Anyway, that's it. I guess I've shared that with you. It seemed before I spoke, it seemed a much grander, more wonderful story. But I guess inside, I'm feeling very good about so many things. And really, the big hug with Joey at the very end and reconnecting with Joey Taylor from, not just from PAB, but from when I was president of the Canada-Japan Society and made the connection to the Japanese Canadian Culture Center, so leading him towards somebody could get him a piece of the Asahi uniform, and him telling that story today of the Asahi baseball team. And it was all grand. So many wonderful things connecting and pulling together, and I just feel so good, so great, so connected. And talking with Scott, it's always in a private chat with Greta about things. This is, my life has become so much richer having joined this United Church, this particular United Church with the atheist minister, an atheist in support of this very man and his group of people who are being threatened with death and being killed in the streets of Bangladesh for daring to challenge the religious edicts. And to say maybe there's a different way to have a government. So there it is. You can pull all that together yourself. Scarborough dude, sitting comfortably in a very nice summer shirt, in a nice comfortable chair, on his deck, enjoying a well-earned Sunday afternoon beer. Bye. For now. Ooh, looks like my wife already did the lawn today. Wow, very good. Bye for now.
Baby, I got something to tell you. So hear me out, here's what I have to say.
Down, 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 down.
Months and months, all that we've been a-doing is a-dancing. Ain't had the time to get in any romancing. The closest that I get to you is when we do the switcheroo and morning. Baby, can't we stop for just a minute, cause I'm getting kind of lonely. Soda pop. Baby, I'm parked in the dark out in the parking lot. Baby, don't you think that maybe we could walk around and do the stroll out to the bar and baby, sit down.
Down, 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 down.
Now Joey D has had us buying lots of records that have had us twisting.
This will be a bitch session, so this won't be pleasant listening, but fuck you if you don't like it. I'm sitting in my car in my driveway because I've got my shoes on, my cane, my bag with all my stuff in it, heading down to jury selection again today. I phoned this morning and said I had emailed it in. They said, listen, if you're already in the system, you've got to explain it to the judge. Just come in. And I understand that. I'm not complaining about that. I should have. And he said, and I know, before this even started, I should have said, look, I can't do jury duty. But I really did want to and really believed if it was just a couple of days, I could handle it. But I can't spare every fucking day over a 2-week-plus trial. So, gotta go in. Well, great. All right, I'll just drive. I'm going to go early, you know. Great. I got my computer, got my thermos of coffee. I'll just go early, chill, relax. And then when the judge is ready to talk to me, I'll explain my story. I've got some documentation, a deposit from Japan Travel Bureau, just stuff showing, yeah, hey, I got to do this crap. Nobody else can. Anyway, drive to the GO parking lot. Not a single fucking spot to park in. It's a GO parking lot station, but it's also where the TTC bus is that runs to Kennedy Station. Not a fucking spot. Not a fucking spot anyway. I mean, the whole circle around twice, nothing. Jesus Christ, I can't walk there. You can't illegally park. There's no place even to illegally park. Jesus Christ, back home. So I'm just coming down Bellamy and I see, oh, there's a bus, a number 9 Bellamy bus, my next option. Park the car, quickly race up the street, hobbling with my fucking cane up the goddamn street. And of course, all I see is the tail end ass of the bus 3 blocks down. Fucking miss. Next one, 20 fucking minutes. 20 fucking minutes. That's why I'm talking to you now. I'm going to fill some of those 20 fucking minutes. So I sit in my car, just pissed off. Oh, okay, now I'm not fucking on time. Now I'm really pushing it. Because I got to get this number 9 to Warden. Get on at Warden, get off, and, you know. Oh, and then a long walk from Osgood Station into the courthouse. Anyway, fuck. So I don't care if I'm late, so what. But, I mean, I don't want to be. But it's just fuck. Yeah, it sounds like nothing. Big fucking deal. You couldn't park your car and you missed your bus. Big fucking deal. Yes! But on top of everything else, I'm on top of I didn't even want to go. I got to get my car into the garage. I got to see the doctor tomorrow. I call the lady who is looking after our refugee family to see if I could be of any help. Greta is going to take them around today, so no, they don't need me today. But still, got shit to do. And I haven't made any progress in 2 weeks for finding a new host family. None whatsoever. You know, I sort of put this off because it's not immediate. It's not tomorrow. But Jesus, now I got to get busy on that. And 5 families is not easy to come up with. You know, 1 maybe. Jeez, I'll beg, I'll borrow. Oh, but 5. God damn it. So anyway, I'm just pissed off, you know. Yeah. Big fucking deal. All right, I'm sorry. I just needed to do that. I'm just... It's... Not having the parking spot was fucking annoying. Big deal. So what? It's just the reality. All those other people have gone downtown, you know? Probably to go fucking stand in line and get wet from waiting for the Raptors game so they can stand outside and cheer. Yeah, anyway. All right. Scarborough Dude, unpleasant, but I needed this little interlude. You didn't need it. I fucking needed it. Just, you know, hey, I want fucking things to go smoothly, all right? I don't want to fucking be late. I don't want to be fucking rushing. All right. Calm down there, boy. Calm down there, buddy. All right, we're good. I'm going to head back up to that bloody bus stop. How long is it now? 9 minutes? Yeah, it'll take me fucking 3 to get up the street. And then in case these suckers are early... All right, signing off. I'm sorry. You had it coming. There you go. I've been nice all along, telling you how wonderful everything is, how great to talk to the refugee family, how wonderful the service was yesterday, and then you just got day-to-day living where some things just get a little fucked up. All right, bye for now.
Don't take a train coming down the track. Don't please, don't leave me. Don't leave me in misery. You would never hold me so near. You would never call me dear. Don't you know I'd die for you? Now you've gone, that's what I'll do. Lover, please, please come back. Don't take a train coming down the track. Don't please, don't leave me. Don't leave me in misery. About a love that went all wrong. The girl left the boy just as bad. Now she's gone, she's so sad. Lover, please, please come back. Don't take a train coming down the track. Don't please, don't leave me. Don't leave me in misery. You would never hold me so near. You would never call me dear. Don't you know I'd die for you? Now you've gone, that's what I'll do. Lover, please, please come back. Don't take a train coming down the track. Please don't leave me.
Okay, I'm back. A little calmer than I was when I last spoke in my driveway, in my car, frustrated at missing a bus. Now I am outside the courthouse, 361 University Avenue, Ontario Superior Court, or whatever it's called. I was just dismissed. I arrived at 12, sat there for 45 minutes. Somebody came in and said, you're free to go, the jury's been picked. I mean, they went through a lot of people, and, you know, I was this fifth group of, I don't know how many others, and, you know, who knows when they got the first 14 jurors, 12 jurors and two backups, but anyway, so it worked out in that I'm not obliged to do jury duty for another 3 years if it came to that. I will not be getting another summons. I will say now, I had already had my mind made up on the guilt of the individuals that I saw sitting in the courtroom. And don't jump to conclusions. It's just that there is no way that they would have this many police and detectives as witnesses to an attempted murder without, you know, bringing it to trial without a lot of documentation and evidence pointing to those two individuals. So, I mean, I would have listened. And that's the fascinating part. I would have loved to have known the process. Well, wow, how did you get to finger these people? And of course, I mean, somebody could be listening to this and just say, oh man, that's not the way it works. You're supposed to be open-minded and... yeah, but, you know, somebody fired the gun. And for the odds of the police bringing two men to trial over, you know, a two-year period from when this happened without being pretty damn sure these are the guys involved. Anyway, I mean, yeah, I'm saying that now. I would have gone with an open mind. I like to think I would have anyway. But whatever the case, my God, am I incriminating myself here? I'm off the hook. So, yeah. It was just all such a strange experience. Yeah, I really would have liked to have heard their evidence. I would have liked to have seen the detectives testify, you know, like, hey, this is a real live court case. But, you know, when they said minimum 2 weeks, you know, and every day, I mean, it's a slog getting here from Scarborough. It really is. It's not like, yeah, anyway, there was a streetcar accident today. There's a whole lot of shit going on, but that's not important anymore. I mean, what's important is I get home and start finding host families. So Scarborough Dude signing out, but I just wanted to end this outside the courthouse because that's... That seems to be the framework for this particular podcast. Take care, and I hope you're all well, and don't judge me too harshly, please. Thank you very much. Oh, by the way, I did watch the Tony Awards last night. I tweeted about it and said, man, if I won the lottery, I would be buying Broadway tickets for every show and taking my wife there and staying in a nice hotel and really enjoying live theater. We did a lot when we first came to Toronto. We went all the time. Well, we saw a lot. Miss Saigon and Phantom. And we haven't gone so much lately. It is expensive and... you know, it just we haven't, that's all. But I do love live theater, and I'm particular musical. So last night I spent a lot of time looking at Rodgers and Hammerstein and listening to the soundtracks for Carousel and you know, Oklahoma, because that was one of the winners. My goodness, there was a woman in a wheelchair, physically handicapped, she said. A shout out to all the people who are and don't think dreams can come true. And she sang a song from Oklahoma, and I don't know where that voice came from. It was incredible. It was so powerful. It was so well done. It was just a wonderful thing to see and hear. So, yeah, it was fun. I love Broadway. I love musicals. I love show tunes. And choruses in particular. I just can't get enough of them. So I was going to buy an album on iTunes and play tunes for you here. But I thought, oh, come on, man. You don't even have room on your hard drive anymore for more music. And you've already got some of them, South Pacific. You know, do you really need all that? So I don't know what you're going to hear, if anything. Scarborough Dude, signing out. Bye for now.
Hey, let's do the twist. Talking about the domino twist. Hey, let's do the twist. Talking about the domino twist. Big John and Little Sis, they all did a domino twist. The rich folks and the poor, they all twisting on the floor. The rich folks and the poor, they all twisting on the floor. Big John and Little Sis, they all did a domino twist. Hey, hey, hey. Oh, oh. All right. We gonna twist all night. Me, John, and Lil Sis, they all did a domino twist. Big John and Lil Sis, they all do the domino twist. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, hey, hey. All right, we're gonna twist all night.